You are listening to LGR Reviews on the Let's Get Ready Network. On this network, we talk about the movie trivia showdown, the First Class League, sports, Star Wars, movies, TV, and more. If you're interested in supporting the network, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/LGR Network. And please leave a rating and a review of this episode. Enjoy the show.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another LGR review here. We are talking the back half of Moon Knight Season 1, potentially Season 2 on the way. They definitely leave it open here, and we'll get to that. But unfortunately, Amber and Maxwell could not join us for this particular review. But I brought in Josh, who I know has a lot of thoughts on this. And I think this is our first ever non-Schmodown-related video that we've done together, Josh. So
yeah.
It'll be fun talking about the show.
100%. So, I mean, I'm happy because I really enjoyed the show, and like I wasn't here for the first three episodes, and I will say I was a big fan of the first three episodes and an even bigger fan of the last three. So there's a lot to talk about. I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah. Episodes 4 and 5 stick out to me specifically. I think, you know, just we can start with our general thoughts on the show. And, you know, I think I kind of mentioned in the last video where the first episode felt very different, like unlike anything that we'd seen in the MCU before. And then as episode 2 and 3 went along, it kind of felt like it was turning into more of an MCU kind of show. But then I think looking back at it now overall, it definitely feels very separate from everything else that's going on. You know, we had Doctor Strange come out recently. We had No Way Home. All this kind of stuff, it doesn't feel like plays in at all. And that's not a spoiler for any of the other, you know, for Doctor Strange or anything, but just in general, this feels like completely separate. Like there's no real references to the Avengers or anything else really going on. And I really like that about this show in particular. And, you know, as I was saying, episodes 4 and 5 are just so, at least the third act of episode 4 and then all of episode 5 are just some of the like best, but also most different stuff that we've got in the MCU so far. So, it gets a thumbs up for me. I don't know if it's my favorite of the MCU Disney Plus shows. I think Loki's probably still my favorite, but it's certainly up there for me. But what about you, Josh? Just overall thoughts on the show.
Absolutely. Like, the first three episodes, you know, the first episode especially felt a bit different. But it kind of like was setting up stuff. It was all about the setup. It was, okay, we're kind of building this up. We're kind of getting you used to the style of the show, used to the aspects of Mark and Steven and their personalities and how it works. And then when you turn it on your head with episode 4 and episode 5, and I love these episodes so much. Like it's up there for top MCU content in general, episodes 4 and episode 5. And episode 6, like, some people rag on it. I really enjoy it because you do need, I think it's a needed episode. I'm not sure it's a great episode, but it's a needed episode.
Well, you had to blend the two back. You had to blend the tones.
You had to blend the two back. You had to get the action. You had to conclude season 1, which I feel like it did. I know some people disagree with that, but in general, it was just fantastic because Oscar Isaac put on an amazing performance, which carried the show. Because if he's like 5% worse, this show's a disaster. The only reason the show works is because he's so good at just juggling every single aspect of the show. I thought we didn't have a lot of action, but every single action scene felt memorable. Like I can remember every action scene. It was memorable in my head. It's not, there's some MCU stuff where the action kind of gets lost sometimes, even though there's a lot of it you don't remember. I could not tell for the life of you, I mean, or life of me, what happened in Thor: The Dark World or the action scene. Right. You ask me the name of the action scenes and I'd be like, I think there was like a hurricane or something.
There were like portals in like London or something, and you're wondering why there's no other Avengers getting involved when there's like end of world shit happening. And I couldn't tell you.
But I can remember every single action scene from this film. I mean, this TV series, even though there weren't as many, it was a really enjoyable ride, and it felt different. And I always love shows that kind of go for it in a way. Like, you know, isn't just the average MCU show. And I wouldn't say this was. I think it took a lot of risks. I really enjoyed every step of the ride. If I mean, I think it had established a very good tone, and I'm excited to see where they take it from here.
Yeah, I think a lot of maybe my criticisms about it are more so just like little nitpicks here and there. Same. But I think, yeah, overall, one of the things that I feel really carries the show to me, and you wouldn't have it as good as it is if it wasn't for Oscar Isaac and the performance that he gives. I mean, he gives a freaking Emmy caliber performance, especially in episode 5, where you just get all the dimensions and the emotions of Mark and Steven and what he's going through, you know, as a person mentally, and like all his stuff with his flashback and that big reveal. I mean, that's like a bit, I think, the first real big talk we'll talk about here, because we're not necessarily going to go in order. It's, I think, more fun to just have a general discussion about the episodes as opposed to do like a play-by-play of all the different stuff that happens. It definitely keeps these reviews, I think, more fresh and kind of less boring. So wanted to talk about his performance and just the way that he's able to portray those emotions and sort of that reveal that he created. Mark created Steven as sort of a coping mechanism for this abuse that he was taking. And it's just, man, really, really hits you emotionally. Like it was definitely a heavy episode. I heard people saying that even before I watched it, like, and I did a pretty good job avoiding spoilers for this. So, yeah, more so than like probably Doctor Strange, but, I definitely wanted to shout that out first and foremost, the performance from Oscar Isaac here on this show.
Absolutely. And the thing that's so great about the series, in my opinion, is the season one, at least, is about Mark and Steven's relationship. That is the payoff. Like, to be honest, like the Harrow and Aegis stuff, that's good and all, but the important thing they needed to nail was this Mark and Steven relationship. And the fact that Oscar Isaac can play both these characters so well and so effortlessly, it's like you would think something like that would take you out of it, but it doesn't in any way. And the fact that they really nailed the relationship and the closure between them, because really what season one's about, it's not about stopping Harrow, although that's sort of what it's about. It's really about Steven and Mark living at peace with each other and
breaking free of Khonshu, because he does all that without Khonshu. And Khonshu gets involved in the end, but
absolutely, like finally getting independence for themselves.
Yeah.
And also, it brings up some really interesting question, because I'm watching this episode and I'm like, Mark made Steven, but Steven seems like its own living being, which is such a fascinating type of thing. It goes back to the philosophy thing. I think, therefore I am. Steven thinks, so you like, is he really real? Because you watch him and you watch him fall off the boat, and you know, at the end of the episode, you're like, you feel bad, but you're like, isn't he just a figment of Mark's imagination? Or like that, you know, it's unclear. But the fact that he has his own personality and he is his own person, I think, is so fascinating, creates these interesting dilemmas. And it was a fantastic episode. It really, because I remember coming off of episode 4, because at the end of episode 4, they move from Egypt to a psychiatric ward. And I was texting my friend, I'm like, this either goes really, really well or really, really badly. There's no in between for this. Like, you either land this perfectly or not perfectly. You either land this or you fall flat on your face. In my opinion, they landed it. I'm like, oh, yeah, this really worked for me. And they were dealing with a lot of real stuff, a lot of real, like, traumatizing stuff.
Yeah, I got Legion vibes from that whole, like, psychiatric ward stuff that was going on.
Sorry to interrupt. I was just going to say,
go for it.
To my friend about Legion, and he's like, yeah, this show wants to be Legion. I'm like, you can look at this and be like, oh, it's just an MCU version of Legion. Or you could look at this as this is an MCU version of Legion, because I like Legion. And the idea of the MCU tackling that, and I would even argue I like this season better than any of the other Legion seasons. And I'm a big fan of Legion. I am a big fan of Legion.
I'm a big fan of Legion as well, and I think the show has hints of Legion, but I'm not sure if it necessarily wants to be Legion. It definitely, I think, echoes some of those vibes, some of that tone, but it definitely feels different enough from Legion that I'm not just like, oh, this is just a ripoff of Legion, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, but I absolutely love the sort of the dynamic between Steven and Mark on this show. And that's, as you were saying, that's really a lot of what season one is about that relationship and him and those two very different personalities living in the same body, really. And you brought up sort of, is he real or not? Is Steven like really real because of that scene where he falls off the boat? And man, what a scene that was. And just like you really felt it. And I kind of like, you know, as much as the story does need to progress, and they had the scene later where he sort of resurrects Steven, I would have been okay if that was it for Steven. If like literally one of his personalities could die. That to me found I find very, very interesting. And that he's almost created another being with Steven, even if it's just, as I said, like a coping mechanism he created as a child to help him, like with this abuse that he was taking. But yeah, it's really interesting. It's almost like we never really got, I mean, we got some of it, but it was always kind of in a larger story with Bruce Banner and Hulk and their relationship. And we only kind of got hints of it because we never really got that Incredible Hulk movie or series that I think really explored that enough. The Hulk movies, both of the, like the one that's obviously not canon, the Eric Bana version, and then with Edward Norton, those movies just felt like generic origin stories for this character. And there was never, it didn't really ever feel like there was any in-depth, like what is the dynamic between Bruce Banner and the Hulk, you know? And I feel like this show is doing that kind of in a more, you know, in a much different way, but also it's a similar kind of dynamic. It's two different beings fighting over the same control, really, of this body, which also has the Khonshu dynamic. But again, like there's so much of it that doesn't even have Khonshu in it that you can almost say, yeah, it's primarily about Mark and Steven. So I love that about the show.
I mean, these last four and five were so good, in my opinion. It says something that we went back to Egypt and went back to Hera. I'm like, oh, we're because that was the most interesting right. part. It was the whole Mark and Steven and Khonshu dynamic and the minute they got out of the psych ward and was like at Egypt, there was a part of me that was disappointed because I was
same.
You know, I guess we're not exploring this anymore. And I know we needed a resolution, and I do think we got that. Like, I know that I saw some people not too happy with episode six because it's a shorter episode. It's very much like we have to resolve everything. Maybe some people felt it was a bit rushed. But in my opinion, first off, you need action in the show. And like this, they didn't have a lot of action beforehand. A lot of the action is in episode six, and I think it's done really well. And I think I love the post-credits scene, and we'll get into that, obviously. But I have a question for you, Dagan, because this is something that's been I've been going back and forth about.
Okay.
Because there's a part of the show that I think is really interesting that no one talks about, and I'm not even sure where I stand on this. Is Arthur Harrow a great MCU villain? Will you remember him as one of the top MCU villains?
I'm not sure. I think it's really Ethan Hawke's performance that what makes it stand out. But in terms of the character himself, he is a little bit generic and almost forgettable in a way, because he's just, it's that same kind of end of the world type plot. I'm going to build this new world in my image kind of thing. And it's all for this Egyptian god. And I mean, there's some little interesting things like the whole him putting the broken glass in his shoe. I'm like, what is the point of this? Is there even going to be a payoff? And there was a little bit with towards the end where he's in the psych ward and he's like, what's this? And there's like the bloody footprints. So I like that. They almost did that in a little, it was very symbolic, but it was like kind of a little thing there that I love the little things on these shows sometimes.
Absolutely.
But to answer your question, I do think that Hera will be remembered more so for Hawk's performance than anything else.
I think like when I think about Hera, like, because weirdly enough, he was the most interesting when he was a psychologist, in my opinion. Like,
I agree. Psychologist
Hera more than actual Hera, because yes, there are some interesting parts. Like, any sci-fi fan knows Harrow's plot, which is, hey, let's judge people before they do crimes. That's instant sci-fi stuff, but that is interesting. There's a reason sci-fi keeps going back to that. It's an interesting.
He's like Minority Report. It's like a Minority Report in an MCU character villain. Yeah,
exactly. And I think that would be interesting. I think the problem.
Yeah, I kind of wish they had explored that a little more. But
that's where I'm going to go with this. I think Harrow was like needed 15 or 20 minutes more of development. If he just had like, he felt like he was like 5 out of 6 steps and he just needed that 6th step. That's how I felt about Hero. Is like, you're so close to being a really great MCU villain. And because the best episodes of the series don't really see our Hero, don't really see the villain Hero, like, because of that, yes, he's there, but it still doesn't work, in my opinion. The further the Egyptian Hero's development, I felt like we needed like maybe one or two more, and this is very nitpicky, I felt like we needed maybe like 2 or 3 more scenes of him expanding on his ideology, maybe having another scene.
Yes. Why is he the way he is? This is the thing. This is why we say like Thanos is probably the greatest MCU villain, right? Because they show you why he is the way he is and why he thinks the things that he does, and his philosophy might sound kind of fucked up, but it's like, oh, but you can see where he's coming from, kind of thing. So I feel like they maybe could have done a little bit more of that with Hera.
You know what they could have done? They could have shown him being corrupted by Amit.
By Khonshu, yes.
I'm saying Amit. Like,
Amit. Oh, by like, Amit. Oh, okay.
Like, I want to see the transition from him leaving Khonshu and then creating a cult
of
Amit.
Yes.
Like,
I see what you're saying there. Yeah. That's kind of where I was getting at, too. Like, his departure from, or Khonshu's departure from him, really. And then his involvement with Amit and that transition. Like, show us maybe a 2-minute scene of that kind of thing happening, right?
Yeah. Like, this is a show that I feel like a lot of people will be like, I kind of want a bit more. I wish we had another episode, or I wish we had more. But I'm more than fine with a show being like, I want more of this. When I leave the show and say, I want more of this, I want more of this aspect, I want more of this aspect, that just means you want people leaving, you want to leave people from, but you want to leave people wanting more rather than thinking it's too much. And this show did leave people wanting more, I think, in a good way. And what I love about this is season 2, if we get a season 2, or maybe we get a movie, whatever we get, whatever continuation we get from this, I'm so excited for it, because I think this was fantastic buildup. Like, what I think I'll go back to Hero in a way, I think what I'll remember him as a transition villain. He's like a good villain. He was serviceable, but really his job is to do is set up the next main villain. And you know who the next main villain? Khonshu.
It's Khonshu in the form of Jake Lockley, which is like, that's going to be crazy to see those two battling against Mark and Steven, really. And
what, like, does the battle even look like between them?
Right,
like,
right. What the hell does that even mean, right? So, yeah, that I find interesting. It's funny because, like, it's crazy. If this was any other at one of these shows, they would have already announced the season 2. But because it's Oscar Isaac and he's, like, apparently still hesitant to sign a big contract for this, you know, huge franchise kind of thing, that was part of the agreement. It was like, oh, I'm only just going to sign on for 1 season and then we'll see where it goes. But I think they kind of wrote it in there like, oh, we have to still set this up for a potential season 2. But so I'm really, really hoping that Disney can dump enough money on his front porch to keep going here, Joe, because there's a lot more that they can explore. And I'm really hoping for it. And it's definitely one of those shows, as you were saying, that makes you want more. That was one of the things that was great about Loki. It was like, by the end of it, you're like, oh, okay, well, what's next? I want to see more of this. And so I think that, like, yeah, overall, I would say this show did its job in that regard. And I'm definitely looking forward to seeing where it might go. And hopefully they can lock something down with Oscar Isaac soon.
Absolutely.
You know, and announce a season 2, because I want to see it.
If we're being honest, like, Khonshu was a fantastic part of the show. He's maybe the second best character behind, maybe Layla, but, like, it's up.
Yeah, we'll talk about her. But, yeah, F. Murray Abraham as that voice.
Incredible.
It's just so perfect. Like, sometimes I can't really understand what he's saying. He sounds like, but it's like, it's still great. Like, he's still so iconic. That voice is still
it's
so
super
iconic.
Menacing. And
yeah,
there's like a hidden danger behind everything. Like, there's an aggression, and like, you can tell he's clearly like not on the side of good completely. Like, he's not a Steve Rogers,
right?
But, you know, he's not completely evil either, and he's going to be
he's like an anti-hero, kind of,
pretty much, and he's going to be such an interesting such an interesting villain to follow, whatever continuation we get of this. And I know, speaking in general, I'm always hesitant to judge a show after season one because I'm like, listen, yes. If we get no continuation, we'll obviously look back on this season and be kind of disappointed. We never got a conclusion on the third personality, on Khonshu, on some of the questions laid unanswered. But I always assume that this is not the end of the story. Season one's job is not to tie up every loose end. And that's why I'm really happy with the conclusion of Moon Knight. And I think this is perfect setup for season two because I think Khonshu was a fascinating villain, like in a villain role. To see how Mark and Steven have to deal with a monster inside them, like, and how do they deal with Jake Lockley? I mean, we don't even know anything about Jake Lockley, and I'm really excited.
I mean, we kind of know that he's like this deadly assassin because I feel like we've seen glimpses of him earlier on in the show. There was that one scene where he's like, you know, Steven's like chasing the guy, and then there's a flash, and he wakes up, and all the guys are dead around him. He's like mid murder, you know, like that's Jake Lockley. There's a little moment where he's like, wait, was that you? No, that wasn't me. Mm-hmm. That was Jake Lockley. So
I know, and that's the thing with
that. They sprinkled that hit setup for that throughout the first season. Yeah.
Because every time they black out, it's Jake Lockley. That's when it's a fascinating way to build that. Like, I think that was great setup. Like, you know, great way to build that and like, build that anticipation to see what really Jake Lockley is. Because if you remember at the end of the last episode, Mark's beat. Like, it looks like Khonshu's about to lose. Everything is at its greatest era. Worst, you know. And then Jake Lockley comes out of nowhere and just saves, like, I'm like.
Just fucking murders Harrow. Yeah.
Doesn't even murder
him. Easily.
He just
takes him out.
Harrow easily. And Harrow.
Murders him later. But yeah.
Exactly. Harrow was the big bad of season one. And so was Amit. And Lockley, in 1 second, just was like, oh. So I'm so interested to see what is his suit and what powers does he have? Because given all he's done in season one, he's got to be at least like 5 times stronger than Mark. And Mark is already pretty strong. So,
it's going to be just wild to watch because this guy, he definitely seems like almost like a James Bond, like Jason Bourne kind of deal where he just like expert marksman, probably like, master hand-to-hand combat kind of style, like it should be wild to watch. But
and the last thing to say about Jake Lockley is and this is a good transition to Layla sees Jake Lockley and there's like almost horror on her face when she's like, Mark, what the hell was that?
Who was that? Right.
Yeah. So let's talk about Layla because I'll be honest, I love Layla. There's any character I want to see in the larger MCU and appear as in other projects, it's Layla. I want to see her on the Avengers, if I'm being completely honest. I want to see her in multiple different projects. Like, I really, really enjoyed this character. And I don't know why. It's a very simple character. But
it just
She
crushes it. She crushes it. I mean, we talked about the performances on this show. This actress, who I can't pronounce her name, it's Maya Kalamoli. It's very difficult to pronounce. I apologize. I'm totally butchering it, but she is just amazing in this role. And I think she's got like a charm to her. That's what it is. Like she has an edge, but she also has a charm and it's really like easy to root for her, especially with the reveal with Mark and his past with her father and everything. And that he was responsible for his death. And she kind of like, there's that dynamic going on because she's also married to Mark at one point for a while. It's the main love interest, but she's also just so it's tough to say because as you said, she's kind of a simple character, but everything about her really works. And I just love the transition to this kind of other kind of superhero in Scarlet Scarab. And sort of, what you were saying, I would love to see her as a larger character in the MCU, like as part of, if there's any character to cross over with the rest of the MCU, it's got to be her. Because, she's awesome.
Yeah, and like I think if I were to take a stab on why this character works, is this character could have been very cliched very easily. the minute she learns that Mark killed her father, or Mark's partner killed her father, it's they could have very easily turned her into a villain or tried to have her get revenge or hate Mark. But if it really felt like the character was real, I think the actor did a fantastic
job. It was a very natural transition. Yeah.
She just felt like a real person who was a badass and just happened to be in these situations. And it never felt like unbelievable. And I think it's very easy for that character to go that way. And there's a lot of cliches that could have gone. But the fact that every step of the moment, like every action she had was reasonable. Every reaction she had was reasonable. Every like emotional moment, it worked because I was on the same page as her. And the actor did that. I think the actor and the writing was just a fantastic job. And the other part that worked so well is the hippo. I'm forgetting the name. And I'm not going to try and pronounce the name because even if I remembered, I would do a bad job. But like the hippo is just so likable compared to Khonshu. Whereas like Khonshu went put Mark and his avatar through all this hell. The hippo this is the part of the episode.
Tourette, yes.
But her, like she just seems like a great time, a great avatar, a great like I want to see more of her too. Like in general, just like I just want to see more of it, the character, because the character is very likable and it was just instantly a hit. And sometimes it's not always tough to explain, but like for me, I'm like, yes, I want to see more of her. She's likable. I want to see her in more situations. And the other thing I wanted to quickly talk to you about is how good was the action scenes in this show? Because I love the action scenes.
Yeah, a lot. I loved a lot of the like hand-to-hand combat style stuff. I think like one little nitpick I had about episode 6 that I see a lot of other people probably complained about much more than I did, but just like the kind of the giant CGI Egyptian god monsters like fighting each other, like you get a little bit, you're going to have that in these finales. You're always going to have some kind of CGI fight, and you know, it's fine. It didn't I got a little annoyed with it at first, but it didn't detract from the rest of the show because it was kind of quick. And it was kind of happening in the background at one point, you know, it was so much in the background that it really didn't detract what was going on with like with Layla, with Mark and Harrow and everything. So, I thought it was fine. But like some of the other action scenes, like that, especially like in the first episode, that scene on the bus where they're like flying down the hill, like that was really great. And yeah, a lot of the like stuff in like the tombs and everything were very, very like Indiana Jones kind of like Lara Croft style action sequences there as well. So yeah, I like those for sure.
I think it worked. Like I'm not, this is a show that takes a lot of swings and sometimes you're going to be a miss, and that like big giant monster, like that's a swing and it was kind of a miss. Like
necessarily fit the rest of the show. That's my biggest
complaint. I wouldn't even say that because the show's very ambitious visually, and there's a lot of times where they take these swings and it works. Like that went at the beginning of episode 4 when it almost becomes a horror with those like monster creatures who I apologize, I don't remember the name of those, but when Layla was trying to avoid that monster creature as she was walking around, and like that really worked even though it was like out there. And like I think the different suits, and just seeing at the end Mark and Steven fight together and change between suits, that was really cool. And there was
that
so
was cool yeah
so cool, and there were so many aspects that were, I'm like, oh, this is cool, this is memorable, this is a way, this is a good fight scene. I do wish the MCU would do more hand-to-hand stuff, because the hand-to-hand stuff, in my opinion, so good. And
it is the best. I was harking it back to like Daredevil season 1, the hallway scene, where it's like almost one continuous take. Like more of that in the MCU, please.
100%.
Like Spider-Man No Way Home had some great stuff too, with like Peter Parker and the Goblin. Where he's like punching him repeatedly, and he's just like, smiling.
Who would have known? One of the best, like in my opinion, one of the best and most impactful MCU fight scenes is just going to be like a 20-year-old kid versus like Willem Dafoe. Just having, you know, it's like a fistfight between Willem Dafoe and Tom Holland is one of my favorite MCU fight scenes. But it really works because I'm like,
yeah, this is so simple. Just like one guy punching another guy, but good guy punches bad guy, or vice versa. You know, it's so simple.
And I feel the hits, and even another one, Some of the Black Panther fight scenes, though, those were somewhat hand in hand. I think for the most part, those worked.
Maybe not the one at the end, but yeah.
You know, you don't have to be complicated as long as you feel the impact. So there were a lot of moments where I felt the impact of Moon Knight. I felt it in No Way Home. And I hope we get more of that. And I think the MCU, like, we're getting some really interesting stuff from the MCU. I will say to the viewers, I'm an easy mark when it comes to the MCU.
I just said this recently, too, in my What If little pitch video that I did. I'm like, dude, I'm just so easy to please. I'm such a shill for this stuff. Like, it's really difficult for me to find stuff to complain about when it comes to, like, people get so worked up. I mean, I don't know if you're lucky you're not on social media, because just the bickering going on right now with Doctor Strange and how divisive it is. It feels like The Last Jedi all over again, but now with MCU, where it's just you either love it or you hate it. And I just find that with all this stuff, my goal is to have fun with it. And if it's fun and a little, you know, sometimes we get rewarded with something like Moon Knight where it goes a little bit even deeper and different. But overall, it's still fun. And this stuff is all very fun to watch. So it's just very easy to please me as well when it comes to this. Like, I just want to have fun. You know, I eat some popcorn and watch it.
Absolutely.
You know, like, have a good time.
As long as, like, you just do something a tad different or just, like, execute it well. There's so many ways to, like, make a good MCU film. I do love the MCU so much. So, as I said, we're both easy marks. But I think Moon Knight will be, like, remembered. Because I think you could look at Moon Knight and not only think of it as a good MCU show. I would argue it's just a good show in general. Like, I can see, like, someone never hearing of the MCU just watching the show. And because there's no connections, as you said, can just watch it and enjoy it. And be like, oh, that was enjoyable. They didn't even have to know it's a Marvel hero. And I'm just excited to see this character again. I right now I have it as my second favorite show, right behind Loki. Like, for me, number one is Loki. I love Loki. I think it's almost a flawless show, and I'm one of the few people who loves the finale. I know I have a lot of friends who does not like.
Dude, that. I love that finale. All that stuff with Kang is so great. You kidding me?
Kang is great. I actually liked where they ended it off because, as I said, season one is not meant to be the end of a story or a conclusion to something always. I'm fine with season one being open-ended as long as we're getting season two. And with Loki, we know we're getting a season two. So it's one of those things where I'm just excited for it. I'm happy for it. I really like Moon Knight. And that's high praise because I also loved all the other MCU shows. Like, the fact that I beat out WandaVision is like, I love WandaVision. I really do love WandaVision. And I also like Captain America. I mean, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
It's got its problems, but there's some good moments in there as well.
I really enjoy that show. I don't know.
That show is great because it established what's his name? Falcon as Captain America. Basically.
I think people give that show
Sam Wilson.
Okay. I think
too many characters
way too much credit. I think that show gets a lot of undeserved hate.
I gotta give that one a pass because they had so many problems with COVID and with just the writing had to get all moved around. They had to do reshoots and basically had to rewrite the entire show because of the whole plot centered around something that was very too close to home. And so I kind of give it a pass in that regard. That show has some really good stuff in it.
I what's it called? The one MCU show that I haven't been a huge fan of is Hawkeye. That's the one.
Yeah.
And like even then, I get it's a good show, and I get why people like it. But me, Moon Knight. Let's get back on track. Moon Knight is a fantastic watch. I really enjoyed every episode. And especially 4 and 5. 4 and 5 really felt like we were doing something new, something interesting, and something I'm looking forward to because I think we're going to get a lot more of 4 and 5 in season 2 because a lot of the conflicts are going to be inside Mark. Because now that season 1 was focused around Mark and Steven, my guess is season 2 is going to be focused on Mark and Steven and Jake now. How do Mark and Steven deal with Jake? How do they get at peace with Jake? And then how do they deal with the Khonshu problem? Because Khonshu is going to be the main villain, and I'm so excited for it because he's such a great character. I'm already on board for him as a villain. I'm like, let me have it now, please. I want to see how they deal with this problem.
Yeah, let me ask you, Josh, have you read the Moon Knight comics at all?
I haven't.
Same.
I haven't.
So we're going in pretty fresh.
Yeah, same. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know the comics that well. I'm just a fan of the movies and stuff. I haven't been a huge comic book reader. I'm a manga reader, as people know from my anime reviews, but I don't read the comics, so I'm really excited. I'm going into it completely fresh, and I have no idea who Jake is. No idea.
Yeah, I don't either. And it'll be interesting to see them explore that. It's funny that we're talking about a season two, because like going into this, they were very adamant to say, no, this is a one-off. This is a series that's not getting season two. Oscar Isaac was very like, nope, this is it. This is a complete arc for this character. And then clearly they have it set up for a second season. So I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of just were saying that to throw us off, because they do that a lot because it's Disney and it's a massive franchise and everything. And so I think there's a very good chance that they will announce
it. Let's say this is it. For whatever reason, it doesn't make any sense. Let's say this is it.
Okay.
How do you look back on season one? Would you be disappointed? Would you think lesser of it? If we get no follow-up from this, what are your thoughts on season one? How does it change?
A little bit like I always use Serenity as an example. Or Firefly. Sorry, the movie was Serenity, but the show was Firefly. Where, the movie wrapped things up. And, you know, we're not sure what we're going to get with Moon Knight. But, like, I always look at the first season of that show is very, very good on its own. And it sucks that we never really got wrap up. I mean, we did with the movie and everything, but you know, we never got a season two of Firefly. And that's, I think, how I'll look at Moon Knight. I'll be like, man, that first season was so great. I kind of wish we got season two, but it's fine that we didn't. Maybe the characters cross over into a big Avengers kind of movie. We'll see. But yeah, that's kind of how I look at it.
For me, I honestly, it would knock me down a peg if we don't get a season two, because when you're talking about a complete arc, trying to have a complete arc, that's not this. We still have a lot of unanswered questions and a lot of stuff to explore, especially with that post-credit scene. You can't just make this delicious steak in front of me and just be like, okay, no one's going to eat it. We're never going to touch it. And
or you can have a couple bites, but then the rest of it's going to just, you know, go in a freezer somewhere.
Exactly. It's like, if they didn't have a post-credit scene and they just ended it like that, I would probably be like, you know what? It's mostly a wrap-up. I wish we got more of the third personality. But to be honest, leaving that open, I'm fine with. I think overall, still a great show. I probably would have it third instead of second, but overall, I would still be a fond memory. I would still be like, I like the season, but I would be disappointed because I think there is more to cover with this character. And they only get six seasons of such an interesting character. Like that would be disappointing because everything about this was great. The idea of only getting six episodes of this, it would be disappointing to me. It would be really disappointing because I think there's so much more to discuss. And it doesn't feel like, especially after that post-credits scenes, that is closed. It doesn't feel like it's a complete arc. It feels like there's more to come.
It does, yeah. And I think the reception has been really good for this show. So I'm hoping that, and I think that there's a pretty good chance that we will get an announcement for season two at some point. Probably by the end of the year, I would say. I would anticipate that. But we'll just have to wait and see.
It's why I'm giving it such a positive review. I would be maybe a bit more critical if I thought that we weren't getting any season two, because if I'm being honest, like, it would take away some of the charm of the show. Not a lot. I would still think it's a very good show, but it would take away some of the charm. I wouldn't lie.
Yeah, for sure. But overall, I would say this was a really, really good show. And I would probably, as I said, still rank Loki as the best. As you said, that's like a near perfect season of TV right there.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think this show is maybe like one step away from being a near perfect one season of television, but it almost feels like one that you have to, see how it plays out and see how like maybe a season two or even a season three, how it fits in to the rest of the show. So it definitely gets a thumbs up from me. Probably it's toss up for me between this show and WandaVision where I rank it.
Same.
So, cause I agree with you, what you said earlier. I really, really love WandaVision as well. And I just watched it again for a second time recently to prep for Doctor Strange and liked it, I think, even more the second time around. It's a very different experience watching it as a binge as opposed to watching it week by week. And so I'd be curious to see how that feels with this show as well, because I actually intentionally saved 4 and 5 to watch together, because I felt like those two, everybody was freaking out about 4, and I had the other stuff that I was doing as well, so I couldn't quite get to it. But everything more I heard about it, I was like, okay, I feel like I should watch those two together. But other than that, I did watch it week to week, so it would be interesting to see, going back and watching it a second time, what it's like as a binge, kind of similar to what I just did with WandaVision.
I have a feeling, and I could be wrong, but I have a feeling this is going to be a fantastic rewatch, because there's going to be stuff in like the first couple episodes we completely missed. Like, I looked at I looked at an image where I'm like, do you remember that little kid in season one that Steven talks to?
In the museum, yeah.
Yeah, do you remember what she says, Dagan?
No.
She asked Steven, how does it feel to be rejected from the field of Reeves?
The field of Reeves?
Reeves. The place where basically the... where Mark ends up after he bounces the scale.
Oh, the field of reeds. Yeah. Oh, wow. No, I didn't notice that at all, because it just kind of sounds like nothing when you first hear about it, but when you get that scene later on.
Exactly. Like, that scene's like, doesn't, I'm like, oh, okay, that's weird. Like, a weird filler scene. I'm not going to remember that. But then you watch it back and you're like, oh, now that I know where Steven's going,
yeah.
Like, this scene hits a bit differently. And,
yeah.
Like,
and it makes quickly, we'll say, man, the visuals in that scene when he finally does end up in the field, it's like, wow. Like,
yeah, beautiful.
Very, very stunning. And beautiful. They almost could have ended the
show.
Yeah, visually beautiful show for sure. And it's almost like they could have ended it on that shot, not even given us the 6th episode, and I would have been okay with it. So for some crazy reason, the world ended right after I finished watching that episode, I would have been like, okay, fine. Because it was just such an amazingly beautiful moment. So. Any other final thoughts about this before we wrap up?
No, I mean, it was this is, as I said, I'm an easy mark. I love these different types of MCU shows, and I feel like it hit every single thing it needed to. I agree with you, Dagan. Like, it's number 2 for me. It feels like it's maybe a better Arthur Harrow away from being, like, if Harrow was maybe a tad bit better, then
a little bit more fleshed out. Yeah.
A little bit more fleshed out, then maybe it's on the same level as Loki, but for now, and Ethan Hawke carries it. If they got different actors, I feel like Hera would be a bit big takeaway from this season, but it's like, oh man, well, it was so great, but it's too bad about Hera, or Hera was such a bad villain, but because Hawke nails it, I'm like, it doesn't take away from it. It doesn't. It doesn't take off points. So I really enjoyed everything about this season. I think we're going to look back more fondly about it, especially once hopefully season 2 comes around, because I think it's fantastic setup for season 2.
Yeah, it's one when we do finally get a season 2, I'm going to have to go back and rewatch season 1 to kind of lead up to that. And yeah, I don't really give two shits about award shows anymore, but I feel like Emmy nominations for sure for Oscar Isaac, Ethan Hawke, and I would even throw in the actress that plays God, there's too many characters, damn it, help me out here. Layla, thank you. That actress should get a consideration as well. But overall, I think I've pretty much covered it all here. I think we pretty much covered the big, you know, talking points for sure. Yeah. So yeah, I think a positive rating from both of us, but definitely intrigued to do more of these reviews, hopefully next year or so or something, once season 2 potentially happens. But Josh, thanks so much for joining me here today to do this review of Moon Knight. And anything else we got coming up here on the channel that we can talk about?
I'm really excited because I'm finally getting done with finals. So I will have so much more reviews coming out on the channel. Schmodown, nice. I'm on the Schmodown Crackdown. And every now and then I'm on any given Schmoday. And just check out the website. And I'm going to be trying to be doing more on the website. So just subscribe to LGR. Hit that like button, hit that notification, and just check out the LGR website. Just follow LGR any way you can.
Absolutely. Ditto everything that Josh just said there. We really, really appreciate your support here on the Let's Get Ready Network. And as Josh said, lots of Schmodown coverage. If you're a fan of that, you know the channel, and you know we do full coverage of that show. And coming up here, we got some more reviews for sure. Myself and Kiwi Jess are going to be doing the Doctor Strange review, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Man, that's quite the divisive film there, but I'm definitely looking forward to talking about it and dissecting it a little bit. And yeah, man, that's pretty much going to do it for us here today. But check in for more reviews on all sorts of movies and TVs. And yeah, we appreciate you here on the Let's Get Ready Network. And we will talk to y'all soon. Have a good night, everybody.